What in the world just happened to J.P. Morgan?
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Ever since the financial crisis of 2008, one of this country's major banks has looked pretty good compared with all the rest. That would be J.P. Morgan, which didn't lose the kind of money on mortgages that its peers did. Its leader, Jamie Dimon, is known by some as the King of Wall Street. Well, after the stock market closed yesterday, his crown lost a little bit of its shine, or you could say he fell off his throne altogether. Dimon announced that because of bad bets made by one of his London traders, the bank will lose at least $2 billion. The bets apparently involved J.P. Morgan selling insurance contracts against losses on corporate debt.
These were egregious mistakes. They were self-inflicted. We were accountable. And what happened violates our own standards and principles by how we want to operate the company. This is not how we want to run a business.
It's also not the way some people want any bank running a business. There are already calls for increased regulations on Wall Street banks. A group of climate activists, including five teenagers, are suing the federal government. They head to court today using an unusual legal strategy to fight greenhouse gas emissions. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
Meet lead plaintiff Alec Lors.
I'm 17 years old and I'm a climate change activist.
Here he is in a YouTube video about his lawsuit.
This is not about politics or money. This is about the survival of my generation.
Lors and four other teens say current levels of greenhouse gas pollution violate their right to a healthy environment in the future.
Saying, wait a minute, you've essentially used up some of the resources that we need.
Vicky Arroyo directs the Georgetown Law Climate Center. She says the case uses something called public trust doctrine to demand the U.S. cut carbon emissions by 6% a year. A decision in their favor would mean using a lot less oil and gas right away. Industry lobbyists say the power to dictate that sits with the Environmental Protection Agency, not a judge. Michael Gerard at Columbia's Center for Climate Change Law says the court will likely agree.
This is a major long shot.
He says Congress authorized the EPA to regulate greenhouse gases, not courts. But it's because Congress failed to pass climate change legislation that these kids are in court to begin with. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are lower in global trading this morning, down about 0.5% in London, more than 1% right now in Paris, 0.6% in Tokyo, and 1.3% in Hong Kong. Oil, though, also lower, down around $96 a barrel, though there are forecasts that oil is going to remain high into the future. Still no agreement between the political parties in Greece, who are trying to form a new government after inconclusive elections over the weekend. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gained 19 points to close at 12,855, but that was before the J.P. Morgan announcement.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
You know how advertisers are always after that key 18 to 34-year-old demographic, even though 18 to 34-year-olds aren't necessarily the biggest spenders in the world? Well, one of the big reasons is that if advertisers can hook you while you're young, you might just stick with their products forever. That's the theory. But it might not be the case anymore. According to a recent study from WSL Strategic Retail in New York, young people aren't as brand loyal as their parents. Wendy Liebman is the CEO of WSL, and she's with us now from New York. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So is brand loyalty a thing of the past?
It's not a thing of the past, but it's hard to gain and hold on to in these tough economic times. And so price is really the big message running across everybody's brow. And when they're thinking about price, they sometimes have to give up on brands they're loyal to.
So it's just about price. It's not that they wanted to buy whatever their friends like on Facebook or something like that. They are just looking for the cheapest option?
You know, everybody's certainly bombarded by lots of information. But one of the big issues, particularly for the younger generation, the so-called millennial generation, is the fact that they are really, really pressed financially at the moment. And so they're making different kinds of decisions than probably their older brothers or sisters or their parents did.
So does that mean that that the old tactic by advertisers of basically getting you while you're young, getting you to pick Crest instead of Colgate toothpaste so that you'll always be used to that brand and you'll buy it for the rest of your life, is that model then not going to work for these millennials, as you say?
It's much more challenged. Certainly millennials want to be loyal, are interested in brands that serve their needs, but at the same time, they are thinking very differently about what's worth it to them now.
Well, what are the implications? It seems like this is going to have big effects on advertisers.
On advertisers, on retailers, on brands, and it requires a different kind of thinking today than did before. I mean, part of it is saying to people, it's not just it's hundreds of dollars, but it's hundreds of dollars because it's made with certain quality. It's made under certain restrictions, so it's not hurting people in other countries. All of this tells you why you need to buy it and why it's worth the price the manufacturer is asking for.
As a branding expert, are you susceptible to marketing tactics, or do you see through it all?
Oh, I see through nothing. I mean, on the one hand, I am an expert in how people shop, and on the other, I'm just a shopper and love to do it. So, you know, I fall into both courts depending on the day.
Wendy Liebman is CEO of WSL Strategic Retail. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, NBC is apparently trying to get Donald Trump to sign on for 2 more years as host of The Celebrity Apprentice. That's according to the New York Post. Up until now, the Post says Trump has only been interested in 1-year contracts. I wonder if the Donald would have made an exception for the standard 4-year term required for that Washington, D.C. job he used to be interested in. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.